So the timing of this. So let's, people kind of yawn when they hear the word budget, and I don't blame them, especially mm-hmm. in Washington, since really nothing seems to change. Every year they just fund the same, what they funded the last year, plus a little bit extra, mm-hmm. or more recently, a lot extra. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to change that. Members of the House Freedom Caucus and other conservatives on the Hill are trying to change that and kind of address the timing of this rider, this appropriations amendment that you're talking about, and why it is that there's maybe a leverage point mm-hmm. That otherwise may not be available at another time of the year.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what the speaker fight in January was all about, and that was to fundamentally change the way Congress operates so that we're not doing, like you said, the same thing all over again, just, you know, continuing to add the same amount of money plus a little extra or a lot extra. And doing exactly the same thing. That's not why the people of this great country gave us the majority. They wanted to see Congress be changed, and that's what we did in January, and to change the process, and now we're implementing that process, which is why an unqualified or a blind or a clean CR, whatever you want to call it, is simply not going to work.
So they need, by the end of October, when is it? What's the deadline these days? Is it October?
It's midnight on the 30th of September.
So September.
Not the 1st of October.
So this is a DC classic. Let's go on vacation for 7 weeks and come back to an emergency budget issue
Correct.
That we've created because we've been
Correct.
On vacation in part for 7 weeks. So unless there's a, quote, a continuing resolution, parts of the government will shut down. Mm-hmm. Of course, we can pick and choose what parts to shut down, but that's another mm-hmm. debate. And the argument of from you and others is, conservatives on the Hill, that a clean continuing resolution, which is business as usual, is unacceptable. We mm-hmm. need to take steps now to defund and protect our, defund the prosecutions mm-hmm. of Trump and to protect our elections, mm-hmm. defund censorship, protect our border, stop mutilating children. Whatever the federal funding issue is, we're just not going to continue. This is an opportunity for us to say no. What do you think is going to be the outcome? What do you think is, where do you see Mr. McCarthy in terms of this big fight? Because it really is about what Speaker McCarthy supports or is willing to endorse, isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you, there are many conservatives that are absolutely committed to not supporting a clean CR, and I'm one of them, because to do that would simply further not just the spending levels, but the policy of Speaker Pelosi. And if we're going to do that, we're no different than the Democrats. But we're not. We're conservative Republicans, and we're going to fight to make sure that that doesn't happen. So there has to be.
So every bad thing that you, as every listener or viewer, hates about the Biden administration or DC spending generally, some of it predates mm-hmm. Biden, is about to be funded in full by the Republican Congress, unless these amendments are passed that restrain it or correct it as within reason, not nearly enough, but within reason to address some of the more critical issues out there, like trying to jail everyone who opposes Biden or censor tens of millions of Americans, other minor issues like that.
Yeah, exactly. So we are not going to continue the policies of our Democrat predecessors. We are going to secure our borders. We're going to defund the radical weaponized federal government. We have to deal with issues like that, or we will fail, and we can't fail. This is not an area where we can fail.
So let me play devil's advocate.
Sure.
These kind of emergency fights we never win. We being conservatives, mm-hmm. They're going to get what they want, and we just want to move this along. And we're going to fight it in the regular process with these appropriation bills when we pass them individually in the beginning of next year. Mm-hmm. Right? Am I fairly characterizing their argument?
Well, that was the statement back when we had the debt ceiling fight.
Right.
Okay.
But that's the statement they make every time.
Right. Exactly. You know, and I'm on the appropriations committee. You know, I'm committed to 12 individual appropriations.
Right.
We've got 10 of them through the appropriations committee so far. We've got two more. You know, arguably two of the most important, one being Commerce, Justice, Science, the Justice Department, and addressing the weaponization of the Justice Department. And then we've got, of the 10 that are available to come to the House floor, one has already been passed. That's Milcon VA. We've got 9 more that we could be addressing right now. And I think defense is going to come up this week. But we need to be, honestly, Tom, we need to stay here until we get all of those appropriations done. That's what we promised the American people, and I believe in upholding my promises, and I will work relentlessly to make that happen.
So how does that intersect with the issue of the continuing resolution? You're suggesting that a continuing resolution for months is inappropriate in that regard, or regardless of whether it's clean or has significant reforms attached to it. How does that work with the appropriations process?
A clean resolution, a clean CR, a continuing resolution, is absolutely inappropriate, 100%. And I think that Speaker McCarthy would have to go to a significant, probably well over 100 Democrats for their support to get that in the House. And if he does, then in my humble opinion, I think he risks the Republican majority and he risks his position as Speaker as well. The American people would simply not give us the majority again, because we'd be no different. But
the point is that McCarthy will end up governing with a minority of Republicans working with Democrats to advance Joe Biden's
agenda,
policy agenda.
Right, and that is a recipe for disaster and failure.
Do you think he'll do that?
I sure hope he doesn't.
You sure?
I mean,
we're not paying you to hope. we want the benefit of your 3 years experience on Capitol Hill working with the Speaker.
I will make sure to the best of my ability that he doesn't.
So I want to, before we move on, you've been talking to constituents, mm-hmm. and my impression is that, you know, your colleagues, no matter where they are hearing a lot on these corruption issues that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And the establishment would have you believe that talking to your members of Congress and calling doesn't make a difference. Mm-hmm. And I know that's not the case.
It's not.
And so I guess, you know, my point is you've got to call your member of Congress and mm-hmm. share your views on this. And I'm not going to presume to tell you what to say other than to be polite and professional. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe you don't agree with anything we're talking about. You mm-hmm. still should call your members of Congress. And if they don't pick up the phone, believe me, they notice how much the phones are ringing, mm-hmm. even if they can't mm-hmm. get to the calls. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't want Speaker McCarthy to do what he's, you know,
typically done in the past,
which has a record of having done very recently, mm-hmm. In the debt ceiling fight, I think it's fair to say that mm-hmm. was the same. He's taken this parliament, he sees himself as the head of a parliament at times where he works in coalition with parties as opposed mm-hmm. to governing, mm-hmm. as opposed to being the head of the Republicans through the House speakership. It's really incredible.